بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله على محمد وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم. We resume the explanation of Surah Al-Baqarah, verse 39. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. Ah, okay. That's right. الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve. Disbelieve in what? They disbelieve in the command of Allah. وَكَذَّبُوا, and belie. Belie what? Belie the information. Belie the news from Allah. So they have two things. They have denial and arrogance. They have denial and arrogance. And this is the basis for disbelief. The basis for disbelief are two things. Number one, istikbar, arrogance. Number two, denial. Take for example the kufr of Iblis, the disbelief of Iblis, Satan. That is of the arrogance type. Why? It is of the arrogance type because he attests to Allah, but he was arrogant. He was taken by his false pride. Similarly, the kufr, the disbelief of Fir'aun, the Pharaoh, and his people, this is of the denial type. The disbelief of the Pharaoh and his people is of the denial type, because Allah said about them, وَجَحَدُوا بِهَا, and they denied it. So they denied it on their tongue, however in their hearts they believed it, as Allah said, وَاسْتَيْقَنَتْهَا أَنفُسُهُمْ, while they asserted it within themselves, meaning they asserted the truth. As in Surah An-Naml, chapter 27 verse 14. Yes. And they belied them, those wrongfully and arrogantly, though their own selves were convinced thereof. So on their tongues they belied it, but they were convinced thereof within their hearts that this is the truth. So the saying of Allah, وَالَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا, those who disbelieve, meaning كَفَرُوا بِاللَّهِ, they disbelieve in Allah, and thus they refused to obey him and did not submit. This is refusal. And the other, وَكَذَّبُوا بِآيَاتِنَا, and they belied our legal signs. And if they belie the universal signs of Allah, then the matter becomes even worse. But really what is important is the legal signs. Because from those who belie, though some of those who belie the truth from the kafirs, amongst them are believers in the universal signs of Allah, but they don't believe in the legal signs of Allah. Take for example the kuffar of Quraysh. They believed in the universal signs of Allah, that he is the creator, the originator, the one who runs the affairs, and that he one who brings life to the dead, the one who causes death, the one who brings to life. However, they kafaru, disbelieved in his legal signs and his commands. So from this we deduce the following. That the signs of Allah are of two types. That the signs of Allah are of two types. universal and legal. Universal and legal. The universal signs are His creation. All the creatures are signs that denote the Lordship of Allah. And belying these signs, meaning belying the universal signs, is to add them or to refer them, is to refer them to other than Allah. Like those who add them to nature. Or those who add them to such and such saint. So they say, this thing came to existence due to this saint in addition to Allah. Or in addition to Allah, this saint. Or those who think that there is a helper for Allah in His universal signs. All of this constitutes belying these signs. As to the legal signs, this is what is brought by the messengers, alayhim salatu wassalam, from the revealed books, the revealed books from Allah. And these books are signs in themselves. And that's why Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenges the creation to bring the likeness of the Quran, as in Surah Al-Isra 17:88. قل لئن اجتمعت الإنس والجن على أن يأتوا بمثل هذا القرآن لا يأتون بمثله ولو كان بعضهم لبعض ظهيرا. Say, if the mankind and the jinns were together to produce the like of this Quran, they could not produce the like thereof even if they helped one another. Rather, even Allah said in Surah Hud in 11:13, أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِعَشْرِ سُوَرٍ مِثْلِهِ مُفْتَرَيَتٍ. So the challenge now was brought down to 4 to 10. Or they say the Prophet forged it, the Quran say, bring you then 10 forged surahs, chapters like unto it, and call whoever you can other than Allah to your help if you speak the truth. Not only that, the challenge came to a single chapter, as in Surah Yunus 10:38. أَمْ يَقُولُونَ افْتَرَى, or they say that the Prophet forged it. قُلْ فَأْتُوا بِسُورَةٍ مِثْلِهِ, then bring the like of one chapter of this Quran. Those who disbelieved, Allah said, أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. Let's go back, inshallah, to the verse 39. أُولَٰئِكَ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. These are the companions, the dwellers of the fire. أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ. The dwellers of the fire. This term, أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ, does not come except concerning the kafirs. They are in it, abiding forever. هُمْ فِيهَا خَالِدُونَ. خَالِدُون meaning مَاكِثُون, staying. The eternal stay. And this is evident in 3 verses in the Quran. In 4, in Nisa 168-169, إِنَّ الَّذِينَ كَفَرُوا وَظَلَمُوا لَمْ يَكُنِ اللَّهُ لِيَغْفِرَ لَهُمْ وَلَا لِيَهْدِيَهُمْ طَرِيقًا إلا طريق جهنم خالدين فيها أبدا. Verily those who disbelieve and did wrong, Allah will not forgive them, nor will He guide them to any way except the way of hell to dwell therein forever. And this is ever easy for Allah. Also in 33, 64, 65, إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَعَنَ الْكَافِرِينَ وَأَعَدَّ لَهُمْ سَعِيرًا خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. Verily Allah has cursed the disbelievers and has prepared for them a flaming fire, خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا forever, dwelling therein forever. Also in Surah Al-Jinn 72:23, وَمَنْ يَعْصِ اللَّهَ وَرَسُولَهُ فَإِنَّ لَهُ نَارَ جَهَنَّمَ خَالِدِينَ فِيهَا أَبَدًا. And whoever disobeys Allah and His Messenger, then verily for him is the fire of hell, he shall dwell therein forever. And the term, whoever disobeys, this refers to the disobedience of kufr. From the benefits of this verse, therefore we conclude the eternity of dwelling in the fire of hell for the disbelievers, and from this we conclude the eternity of the fire. As to the eternity of paradise, this is affirmed in other verses. So those who combine these attributes of belying and disbelief of rejection, then they are the eternal dwellers. They dwell eternally in the fire of hell. We seek refuge in Allah from that. As to the one who is qualified with belying, then he is also eternally in the fire of hell. As to the kafir, then his kufr, if it is the type that takes him out of Islam, then he is eternally in the fire of hell. And the one with the lesser kufr is not eternally in the fire of hell if he is punished. His case is left to Allah. He is under the mashi'ah, the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because kufr is of two types, major and lesser. The major one takes the person from Islam, and the other one is of a lesser degree, and the case rests with Allah with respect to the person who commits it. Allah may punish him, or Allah may forgive him. Then Allah says in the next verse 40, Ya Bani Israel, Ya Bani Israel, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم وأوفوا بعهدي أوف بعهدكم وإياي فارهبون. O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you, and fulfill your obligations to my covenant with you, so that I fulfill my obligations to your covenant with me, and fear none but me. Ya Bani Israel, O children of Israel, Israel is the title for Yaqub, for Jacob, the son of Ishaq, the son of Isaac, the son of Ibrahim, the son of Abraham. This is Israel. He is Jacob, Yaqub. Israel is the title for Yaqub, Jacob, son of Ishaq, son of Ibrahim. And it is said his name means, meaning the name Yaqub or Jacob means Abdullah, means Abdullah. And he, Yaqub, Jacob, is the father of Yusuf, is the father of Joseph. So the meaning of Israel is the worshipper of Allah, Abdullah or Abidillah. And his children, the children of Jacob, of Yaqub, are the Jews and the Christians and their messengers. His children are the Jews and the Christians and their messengers. However, in this verse, the address in this verse, O children of Israel, is to the Jews and the Christians present at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And this address is to the children of Israel because this surah, chapter 2, is a Madianite. And the children of Israel were then three tribes in Medina. They were, number one, Banu Qaynaqa. This is the first tribe. The second tribe is Banu An-Nudayr. The second tribe is Banu An-Nudayr. Okay, the third is Banu Qurayza. These three tribes, these Jewish three tribes, dwelled in Medina, waiting for the coming of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam, whom they knew of his migration to Medina, so that they will believe in him and follow him. However, when he came with that which they knew, they rejected him. Allah is telling them, O children of Israel, وَذْكُرُ نِعْمَتِي أَلَّتِي أَنْعَمْتُ عَلَيْكُمْ. Remember, can we have the verse please? O children of Israel, remember my favor which I bestowed upon you. This covers all the favors, those pertaining to this worldly life and those of the religious type. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed on the children of Israel many favors, and that they are purely from Allah, because Allah said, which I bestowed upon you. And then reminding them to fulfill your obligations to my covenant. What was Allah's covenant? Allah's covenant for them is to establish prayer and give charity and believe in His messengers. As Allah stated this in Surah Al-Ma'idah 5, verse 12. وَلَقَدْ أَخَذَ اللَّهُ مِيثَاقَ بَنِي إِسْرَائِيلَ وَبَعَثْنَا مِنْهُمْ 12 نَقِيبًا وقال الله إني معكم لئن أقمتم الصلاة عليكم السلام وآتيتم الزكاة وآمنتم برسلي وعزرتموهم وأقرضتم الله قرضا حسنا. الآية. Indeed, Allah took the covenant from the children of Israel, the Jews, and we appointed 12 leaders among them. And Allah said, I am with you if you perform the salah, give zakah and believe in my messengers, honor and assist them, and lend to Allah a good loan. Verily, I will remit your sins and admit you to gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. But if any of you after this disbelieved, he has indeed gone astray from the straight path. So Allah says here, أوفي بعهدكم, then I will fulfill. Back again to the verse please. I will fulfill my obligations to your covenant with me, meaning to reward them for their deeds. And this came in the same verse up there when we read, verily I will remit your sins, لَأُكَفِّرَنَّ عَنْكُمْ سَيِّئَاتِكُمْ وَلَأُدْخِلَنَّكُمْ جَنَّاتٍ تَجْرِي مِنْ تَحْتِهَا الْأَنْهَارِ. Verily then I will remit your sins and admit you to gardens under which rivers flow in paradise. So had they fulfilled the covenant with Allah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala would have fulfilled the covenant to Allah would have fulfilled his covenant to theirs. And then Allah reminds them, and وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ, and me alone you should fear. This rahba even refers to having a state or being in a state of intense fear, strong awe, rather strong fear. The benefits of this verse, number one, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala may address whomever he wishes, either because the one who is addressed understands better than others, or he by all means is more fit to comply. And this is where it is applicable towards the children of Israel, because they by all means are the ones who should comply, because they had the knowledge concerning the Prophet's coming and his message, and his message, and that it is true. This knowledge was with them. And from the benefits is that reminding the slave of Allah, reminding him of Allah's favor, incites him better to accept the truth. Incites him to accept the truth. And it will be better in establishing the proof or the evidence. Why is this said? Because remember what Allah said, اذكروا نعمتي التي أنعمت عليكم, remember my favor which I bestowed on you. So Allah is reminding them of his favor. So this is something which you have to keep in mind. Is this from the ways of giving da'wah to Allah? Meaning if we want to invite someone to the truth and to Allah, should we remind him of the favors? The answer is yes, we remind him of the favors, because this is more appropriate in paving the way to accept the truth. And because if the person loves Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and you come to him through this way, then this will make him comply, it will be easier for him to comply. And from the points of evidence is the one who fulfills his obligation to Allah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala fulfills his promise to him. Rather, Allah is more generous than his slave. And this cannot be compared. Allah gives the reward tenfold for each good deed. And from the points of benefits of this verse, the one who breaks the covenant with Allah, then Allah may punish him by depriving him of what Allah promised him to fulfill and from the points of benefit is the obligation to fulfill the vow, the obligation to fulfill the vow, because the one who is making a vow is in a state of covenants with Allah, is making a covenant with Allah, as Allah said in Surah At-Tawbah 975, وَمِنْهُمْ مَنْ عَاهَدَ اللَّهَ لَإِنْ آتَانَا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ لَنَصَّدَّقَنَّ وَلَنَكُونَنَّ مِنَ الصَّالِحِينَ. And of them are some who made a covenant with Allah saying, if he bestowed on us of his bounty, we will verily give sadaqah, charity, and will be certainly among those who are righteous. And from the points of benefit is that fear is worship. That fear is worship, because Allah commanded it. Not only that, Allah commanded that it be sincere, because He said, وَإِيَّايَ فَرْهَبُونَ, and me fear alone. So it is worship, and it requires sincerity, because Allah says, and me, so it must be sincere for Allah alone. If someone says now, if one fears an animal like an elephant or a beast or an enemy, does this oppose his tawheed? Does this stand in opposition to one's tawheed? The answer, no, it doesn't oppose the tawheed. Why? Because this took place, this happened to the messengers. Abraham alayhi salatu wasalam, when the guests came to him and when they didn't eat, when he offered them the food, أوجس منهم خيفة, some kind of fear touched him from them. Similarly, with Moses عليه الصلاة والسلام, when the magicians threw their rods, their ropes, and their sticks also, he also was touched by some kind of fear, because this natural fear is necessitated, it's natural. And if we tell the person that if you are afraid of someone other than Allah, your natural fear, then you are a mushrik, then this is like putting a burden on him which he cannot even bear, which he couldn't bear, because this is an instinctive type of natural fear, can't be driven away. Every person fears that which may inflict harm upon him. Now, if someone says, if the fear would prevent him from doing that which is obligatory upon him, should he be, cautioned against that or not? Yes, he should be cautioned not to indulge in this. Because that which is obligatory upon him, he is able to perform, except except if there is evidence in Sharia which exempt him and forgives him under such a state, then there is nothing upon him because of this fear. Allah says, 3:175 in Al-Imran, إِنَّمَا ذَلِكُمُ الشَّيْطَانُ يُخَوِّفُ أَوْلِيَاءَهُ فَلَا تَخَافُوهُمْ وَخَافُونِ إِن كُنْتُمْ مُؤْمِنِينَ. There should be no fear in that which is obligatory upon us to do. This is the evidence in 3:175. It is only Shaitan, Satan, that suggests to you the fear of his supporters and friends and helpers and etc. So fear them not, but fear me if you are true believers. However, if the Sharia gives us a permit, then in this case you can oppose the command. There is no harm in this case to oppose the command. And let's give an example. If someone intends to pray the obligatory prayers, and next to him there is a wall, but this wall is kind of low, it is not really tall, and he fears that if he stands up in the prayers, then the enemy will see him from the other side, then it is in this case permitted for him to pray sitting, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala pardons us for this, because he said, Allah in Surah At-Taghabun 64:16, because Allah says in this case, فَاتَّقُوا اللَّهَ مَا اسْتَطَعْتُمْ, and fear Allah to the best of your ability. Another example, if the size of the enemy in the battlefield is as twice as much that of the Muslims, more than double the size of the Muslims, then it is not incumbent upon them to persevere in this confrontation. Okay, so if the size of the enemy is more than double the size of the Muslims, then it is not incumbent upon the Muslims in this case to persevere their enemy, and it is permitted for them to flee. It is permitted for them to flee. On this note, inshallah, we stop, and this brings the end of the explanation of verse 40, chapter 2. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa sallallahu ala Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in, and Allah the Most High knows best.